How many of us say things we don't intend and it's out? And the hopeful thing is that that can be renewed. Not only hopeful, but it's vital to a healthy marriage relationship. Good morning. Greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. Looking forward to spending time today just looking and allowing the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to be agents of renewals. You know, Brother Matt talked to us last night, and as we think about today, as we concentrate on marriage relationship, he has made it so that you and I are agents of renewal in our marriage relationship. He could perform a miracle and our relationship could be perfect, but he chooses to use each one of us as conduits through which he works in our marriage relationship. And that's a beautiful thing, a challenging thing, but a glorious thing. So this morning we're going to talk about renewing our communication. Okay? So let's begin with a verse here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It reads, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Part of being an agent of renewal in communication is looking not just on my own things, but on the things of my spouse, seeing things in a different light, understanding things in a different way. And so as we go through this presentation, part of it is even asking this question, what is it that I do that makes it difficult to be in relationship with me? That's looking on other things. There's something about me that's actually, perhaps some days I'm okay to live with, but other days it's a challenge. As we think about relationship, it's interactional. It's mutual. It's back and forth. And so in the chapter of the mind of Christ, he's calling us to look not just on our own things, but on things of others. So this is a roadmap for what we're going to talk about this morning. First, what does it mean to renew? And why is it important in your marriage relationship? Number two, we already started here. Begin with self. Reflect on, if we are to be agents of renewal, we begin by being renewed ourselves. And then number three, continue renewal together. So I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, the things that we say. The things that we say are like feathers in a pillow. If you take the pillow out on a windy day and you rip open the pillow, the feathers fly in the wind. And there's no possible way you can recapture all of those feathers. They're gone. Words can be like that, the saying goes. Right? Thoughts that we have in our mind, once they're said, they can't be unsaid. They're like feathers that have been scattered in the wind. How many of us have said something or done something we wish we could just take back? Oh, why did I say that? Why did I react in that way? I can't believe I did that. Right? We do it. But this analogy isn't completely true, is it? What we're going to talk about this morning is going back so that we can move forward. It's that actually, when we think about renewal as Matt introduced it last night, it's taking something and making it new, making it what it can be again. And so those words that are said, and what we're going to talk about this morning is about looking back on communication that didn't go well, right? Where we got off track, where we said something that we didn't mean to say. And that's a hopeful thing for us. Because again, how many of us say things we don't intend and it's out? And the hopeful thing is that that can be renewed. Not only hopeful, but it's vital to a healthy marriage relationship. So we're going to walk through today is an intervention, a process that I use with couples in the counseling room. So let's just step into this by some scenarios. And probably each one of you, perhaps even this morning, can think of scenarios that have happened where I've said something or done something I wish I could take back. So maybe it's a young mother that has kids. She's stressed, having company tonight. Feels like she picks up a room, and then the room's a mess again. And she's at her wit's end, feels like she's not going to be prepared for the company that's coming tonight. And husband walks through the door, and something is said. There's strong negative emotion. There's some smiling faces. I don't know if this is because this is connecting with anything, or maybe you're just happy to be here. But the husband immediately gets defensive, right? And takes it personal and says something he wish he wouldn't have said. And they go the evening with tension in the room that they can cut, but perhaps the company doesn't know, right? They said something. It's out. It's frustrating. Or maybe it is a situation where the husband's been in a funk lately, right? Sometimes husbands get that way. And he's leaving in the morning, and his wife is busy, what appears to be busy, getting the kids ready for school. And he leaves without acknowledging, neither acknowledge each other. And they go through the day feeling a bit alone. I have done something. I wish I would have just stepped into that room and connected. Or maybe it's a wife that comes up to a husband in a difficult spot. And she wants to share something that's happening in a relationship. And the husband's there. And he gets a text on his phone. And he picks up the phone. And she feels dismissed. And she walks away. Right? Those things happen. Those are the things that we're talking about here this morning. So what do we mean by renewal? Well, one thing we don't mean is repeat. We're not saying, let's go back and have the same conversation a second time. I don't want to have that same conversation. I don't know about you, but that's really hard and uncomfortable and painful. That's not what we're talking about. It's not like going on when you go to a website and it doesn't load properly, you refresh it. No. That's not what we're talking about in the sense of, let's just load the same thing again. This is about renewal. This is about doing something new again, different, altogether toward a biblical model to what it could be, not what it was. That's what we're talking about, renewal. Scripture gives us a number of helpful principles here. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renewing our mind is adjusting, through the power of the Holy Spirit, our spiritual vision on the mind of God so that we are transformed. We think about our marriage relationship. It is renewing our communication in a way that our relationship is transformed. The why of renewing. So why? Why do we step into the renewal process? Let's take a look at a couple of these things. First of all, new insight. New insight into myself and why I react certain ways. Why certain things come up in me when we have these conversations. And then number two, new insights into your spouse. Healing. If you think about the healing process, even if you took it in a physical sense, it is about when you get a cut, it's about making new skin and healing. The same is true when we think about words that are said, that we regret saying. It's about bringing healing to the bond in your marriage relationship, right? Soothing. Do you know that it takes 90% more This is a statistic that probably most of you in the room don't care about, but I think it's fascinating, so I will share it. 90% more glucose for you to regulate your own emotion than to help your, that to be in communication with your spouse, and it's soothed and regulated. We were created for relationship. What that means is when we are able to go through a process of renewal together, it takes less energy, physical energy, to do it. That's the way God designed it. It brings soothing and deeper connection. It decreases spinning. The way our mind works, there's a marital researcher that used this analogy. I don't know if you've been at a restaurant where they will take your order, which I think is very fascinating. They take your order, but they don't write it down. They memorize it. And I'm thinking, how do they do that? But it's in their mind until they get back to the chef or back here, and they repeat it, and then they're able to let it go. Guess what? Our minds are like that. So when we have a word that we said or our spouse said, guess what we, some of us, tend to do with it? Spin. We can't let it go, right? We try to, but it's really difficult to let it go. Renewal communication allows us to let it go. Suppression, some of us try to kind of push away from the negative emotion. That works okay until your spouse brings it up. Then it doesn't work so well, right? Or distance and self-protection. And we know that the way this works is when there's distance in the relationship, it impacts how I think about my spouse and how I think about myself. And so when the words are out, it affects distance and then my feeling towards my spouse. The beauty about renewal is that we can come closer together. So as we move into this, it's also helpful to keep in mind, this is a process of renewal. Paul speaks of this in Philippians 3, "Brethren, I count not myself as though I've apprehended," that I've grabbed a hold of a completely renewed marriage relationship. I'm not there. Oh, I want to be. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Part of the renewal process is to say that there's not a one of us in this room that has it figured out. We don't. But guess what? There's also opportunity for renewal. We're leaning into it. We're accepting where we're at, and we're also stepping into the opportunity for renewal. So let's begin with self. We're going to walk through a few questions. Because again, in order to have renewal and communication, we have to be agents of renewal. The Spirit has to work through us as we step into renewal communication. So these are questions for each of us individually. Am I able to talk about the miscommunication, the misstep, the word that was said, the action that was done, without getting back into it? See, that would be having the same conversation a second time. That's not renewal. So we have to have some space from the conversation. I don't know if this happened to you or not, but it's happened to me, where I revisit a conversation with my spouse and we have the same conversation the second time. And that's painful, right? That's really painful. Because we're stepping right into the emotions that grab a hold of me and I start saying things again that I don't want to say. So what this is saying is, in order to step into the process of renewal, we need to be like the analogy is used of in a balcony, right? And you're looking down on the stage. You're not in the stage. You're not having the same conflict again. So that takes some space. That then that space gives us perspective and grounding to be able to have the conversation a different way. So is my heart in that place that I have enough distance to be able to talk about it in a way that I don't say the same things and do the same things? Number two, Is my desire to understand my spouse and repair communication more important than getting it right? Ouch. Oof. How often do I want my spouse to understand me? And I go into that conversation with that motive, which in and of itself, I would say, isn't all bad. We need to feel understood, right? That's important, but it's how we go about it. It's how we do it. And so what this point is saying is, what's my motive as I step into this conversation? What's my heart? Is it to be right or get it right? I want to do it right. I want to do this in a way that it is that biblical model of renewal, of communication. Number three, can I validate the legitimacy of my spouse's emotional realities, even if they're different from mine own? Think not everyone on his own things, but also the things of the other. You're different. You've probably figured that out by now. And part of the renewal in communication is that I'm able to be at a place, to have distance, to have a motive that I'm able to step into and be other-oriented, to say, wow, now I can understand why you reacted in a negative way. Still hurts, but I understand it, right? Number four, can I speak from my experience and let go of the temptation to persuade or convince spouse about facts? You know, one of the things that we tend to do is we like, okay, maybe you don't do this. Maybe it's just me. When we get into these conversations, pull out the list and fact check. Okay, you know, and start running through like these facts to make sure we get it right, to make sure my spouse gets it right. How well does that work? It doesn't work real well, right? And so can I speak from my experience and let go of the temptation to persuade? One of the things that we at times think about is, you know, if I were to videotape it, maybe then we'd get it right. But I'm pretty convinced that even then we wouldn't get it right, because we have intentions and thoughts, right? Well, that's not what I intended, right? It's what I said, but it's not what I intended. And number five, am I free from distraction, being able to be fully present, right? What distracts you to be able to be in a place of renewal with your spouse? So let's walk through this process. We're going to take a stop, at each of these as we walk through this process of renewal, okay? So each of these is a stop on the journey. As you think about, again, the objective is going back. So this is a communication that happened in the past. The words are out. You've said something, done something, and we're going back to renew that so that we can move forward. So this is a past communication. And again, having some distance with that. So begin by sharing feelings, acknowledging each other's realities, identifying triggers, taking responsibility, and then finally, a new path forward. So let's spend some time on each of these. So first, sharing our feelings. So this is a wheel, a feelings wheel. We call it a feelings wheel. So on the right side, these are feelings within oneself, and on your left side, they're feelings with oneself, and on your let me try that again. On the left side, it's feelings. You notice how I see this? See L. That was a helpful thing when I was younger. You do that, then you know which is left-handed. So L, so with others, right? That's feelings that we have in relationship with others. And on your right side is with oneself. Feelings are a universal language. I don't know Spanish. I don't know Chinese. But here's what I do know. I know what it feels like to feel sad. And guess what? So does a person in Mexico, in China, in Australia. It's a universal language. And you know what? God has emotions. And the more we understand ourselves in this light, the more we get to understand each other, and I would say even God. But here's the thing. You and I need help in that arena because we get some distortions that happen here, right? That can happen. Feelings, emotions are temporal truth. They're not absolute truth. Like if you think about gravity, wherever you go in the United States, there's still gravity, right? It's not like you're going to get into a place that all of a sudden there's no gravity. But feelings are like rain. One day they're here, one day they're gone. When it's raining, it's raining. It's true, right? But when it's not raining, it's not true. Our feelings are like that. So when we go back to renew our communication, one of the things that we need to do is connect with, what was I feeling then? But here's the thing. This is about us just as much as it is about our spouse, because feeling tells us about us, spouse. Sometimes when we're feeling something, we think it's about our spouse, but it's more about what's happening inside of us. It's our alert system. It's our alarm system. And as you move out, there's a couple rings that you go through. This ring right here is what's called, you can see over here, this diagram, disconnected feelings. And then the outer ring, right, is distressed feelings. So ideally, we're responding to these right here, disconnected feelings. Disconnected feelings are kind of like spinach, right? Kind of like spinach. I don't like it, but it's good for me. Disconnected feelings are that way. I don't like them. They're uncomfortable. They're really hard to sit with, but it's actually really good because it's telling me something's going on inside of me, right? But when we get to the outer curve, this is a place then the lies become really strong. And in that place, we don't engage. We don't have distance, right, from the communication. And so in that place, we do some self kind of soothing and quieting. So again, this first stop is, what was I feeling? Not your spouse feeling, but what was I feeling when that communication happened? Looking back, what was I feeling then? And sharing. Both of you get an opportunity to share. All right, the next stop is acknowledging my subjective reality. I'm sure most, if not all of you, have seen this picture before. Right? So I was going to say an old lady. The older I get, that just, you know what? It's a wise lady, right? Wise lady. Or a young princess. Which do you see? Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to see one or the other. Sometimes I only see one. But here's the thing. When we go back in our communication, we need to acknowledge that each of you have a reality, a subjective reality. And if I'm trying to convince my wife that this picture shows up as a young princess, and that's not what she's seeing, it's not going to work, right? But each of you have a subjective reality. So part of renewing communication is to say, what was your subjective reality? What happened for you there? Right? For them, we have to connect that in order to make sense of the words and the actions that were done and to understand it. Right? So we share our reality as kind of like a reporter. Again, having some distance from the conversation. Right? The second thing is that I think is helpful here, because again, you and I are different. Shante Felden, she's an author and a researcher, a believer. She had a blog post on a conversation she had with her husband. And she said, God calls us to love one another, not understand one another. So what that means for the process of renewal is there are times that your spouse shares their reality with you that there's a young princess there, and you're like, I don't see how you see that. I don't understand how you get to that place, but I trust it to be true because you're a person that I trust. So here's the thing. There are some moments, it's vitally important to understand. Don't hear me say, don't worry about understand. But there are also points in renewing our communication that there's a level of trust that we step into with our spouse to say, it's hard for me to get there, but I trust that's exactly how you saw it. That's hard. But God calls us to step into loving each other. And then it's helpful, right? In our subjective reality, what is it that I needed to feel? I needed to feel cared for, or I needed to feel that you were there listening with me. And again, in a non-blaming way, this was my experience. I felt you weren't in tune with me. You were distracted, right? I needed you to respond to me. I need you to hear me, to understand me. What is it that you needed, right? Because underneath the feelings, it communicates what we need. Next, identify the triggers and the potential vulnerabilities. So on this slide, we have on the top is what was felt. And then what goes under the surface are things that our spouse may or may not know. You and I bring vulnerabilities into the marriage relationship. That means we have things in our lives and things that have happened that affect and influence the way that we interact with our spouse. Right? Life didn't begin on your wedding day. No, it began long before that. And so in our marriage relationship, and sometimes when these words and actions are done, they come out of a place that you might have vulnerabilities, which is good to know for each of us individually, but also for our spouse. So let's just take a couple of these. I felt criticized, right? And you know what? I'm particularly vulnerable to that because I've had experiences in my life that I've internalized criticism. And so I'm actually strongly critical towards myself. I know that's not about you. I know it's not about you. But I have a tender spot in that area that I do something and I say something in that moment that I want to take back. I want to take back. Right? Or, you know what? Maybe I felt particularly lonely. Maybe there are fears that I had that were not acknowledged when I was younger, or in relationships where I've experienced rejection or abandonment. Guess what? This spot for me is a tender spot. And I know you didn't intend it the other night, right? When you were silent, when I was sharing with you, but that's what I felt. I felt like I was all alone. Again, this is a vulnerability that one spouse has that isn't, if I feel lonely, it's not about me blaming it on my spouse as much as them understanding I'm vulnerable to that place. But we get at this level, this is prime for renewing communication. It's also prime for hurting each other very deeply. Because this is a vulnerable spot for us to go that can be beautiful in the process of renewing. So again, this stop is about identifying those points that just lead to like this landmine that blows up, right? Or freezes me in a way that I'm not present with my spouse. So what is it for you? And what is it for your spouse? And what are the vulnerabilities underneath those triggers? Next, take responsibility, even if a little bit. When we take responsibility for things that we've done or said, it relieves tension. There is a sense that when I acknowledge with Ange, you know what I said or what I did, I'm sorry, it was not okay, it was wrong. There is a sense of validation. Even though we still need to have conversation, it like relieves the pressure. Okay, I'm not just crazy. I'm not just, you know, thinking things up. But actually, that happened, right? So it's good for us in this process of renewal is that we need to take responsibility, not to make excuse for our actions, but rather to help validate and make sense of our spouse's experience. So what is it for you? There's a list of items there. I've been running on empty lately, right? And I know when I get there, I don't respond well. And I'm sorry, that's my issue. But I know I said some things or did some things I didn't mean to. Or I've been preoccupied with work, right? And I need to learn to set more healthy boundaries. I take responsibility for that because part of this miscommunication that happened, that we got off, is my responsibility. And I'm sorry, right? And that's the other part. Lately I've been, and so I sincerely apologize for that. It's a seed for renewal. It's an opportunity for transformation to happen, for your spouse to feel seen, for you to feel understood, for stress to be understood, for words to have context behind them, right? Take responsibility. And the last part of this step, right, is a new path forward. Just two questions. After you've had this kind of renewal conversation, you've stopped on these different paths along the way. So the first question is, what is one thing you can do to have a conversation, a new conversation in the future? When you've gone through this process, what have you learned? As you think about the future, as you think about moving forward, what's one thing you can do that will make this different in the future? And number two, what's one thing your spouse can do to have a new conversation? What was it that helpful in this process that your spouse did or said that you felt really heard and understood? That's helpful information to share with your spouse. That's helpful learning for you to incorporate into future conversations. All right, and then the final takeaway homework assignment, like Arlen said yesterday, when I work with teachers, they ask, okay, so what's the homework assignment? What's the takeaway exercise? So here it is. It's on page 34 of your booklet, Renewing Our Communication. So this is something that I know there's some time today that you'll have as a couple, but also can be a takeaway for you as well. So oftentimes we're the most motivated when we're sitting in a marriage seminar talking about the possibilities of renewal more than ever. What if, right? It's like the opportunity. We get excited about, you know what? This renewal could happen or this could happen here. But the reality is often we don't count the cost of what it means to renew because there is a cost. I think of when Jesus came to the lame man pool of Bethesda and he said, do you want to be healed? Who doesn't want to be healed? What kind of question is that? But there's also a cost that comes. For that lame man to be healed meant now perhaps I need a house. Perhaps that means there's a family. Yes, there's a cost. Even as we talk about discipleship, there's a cost. But we know the reward far outweighs the cost. So this exercise is about reflecting, right, on the cost-benefit ratio. So as you walk through, this is page 34, schedule a date night on your calendar, engage in a visualization exercise. So imagine waking up and the relationship challenges are gone. Tomorrow morning you wake up and the challenges with communication are gone. Just go with me here, right? So how would you know? If that were true, what would your children see? What would be different in the way that you communicate with each other What would they notice? What would they experience? Next question, how would you feel coming home from work or expecting your spouse to come home? If that was different, how might it influence the way that you greet each other at the end of the day? How would that be different? Number three, what would vacation look like if these changes were made? And what would your close friends or family members notice is different in the way that you communicate? Capture that. And then think for yourself, what is one small way I can step into that this next week? What is one small way I can start that process of renewal? And who is it that can hold me accountable? If this is what it looks like, if those things were changed, what does it mean to take a small step in that direction this next week and share it with someone close to you that can follow up and hold you accountable? It's been a privilege to be with you. May God bless each of you in this day.
Thanks, Caleb. We were given great instruction, wonderful instruction. And he said something in the midst of that I think was really at least convicting to me. He said a very simple phrase there in the midst. I don't know if you caught it or not. But as you think about this idea of renewing your communication and going into this deeper level, and it's hard. It's like peeling off the layers of the onion, right? And going a little bit further down and really processing through it. And it takes time and it takes effort. And the easiest thing to do is just kind of continue on in those same patterns and same ruts and same cycles that we're naturally prone to. And if nothing changes, then nothing will change. But Caleb challenged us in the middle of the talk there, and he says, would you rather be right or would you rather get it right? We were challenged by Brother Gary when he, at the beginning here, says marriages are wonderful if you invest in them. So some very practical and very encouraging teaching here to consider where we maybe get off track and how do we begin to get back on the track. And just take some time. Think about that one step towards a deeper level of communication. Whether it's being able to identify those emotions with each other or begin to have that safe conversation about vulnerabilities and potential triggers, or be willing to just acknowledge each other's reality of what we're walking through and turn towards each other in those communications. Thanks for really strong and practical instructions.